It's great to have everybody here this morning. If you want to get start, and we're going to start in 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Just one big announcement, but underneath that, there's a bunch of different things that go along with that. Starting Wednesday night is our fall revival. Evangelist Brian McBride will be here with us Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. That is at 7 o'clock, so please do your best to be here. And looking forward to how God's going to work in our hearts and life. And I have always enjoyed hearing Brother McBride preach and always heard from the Lord as he was preaching. And just glad he's able to be back with us this Wednesday through Friday. On Saturday night, that's at 6 p.m., we're going to have a special Saturday evening service. And that is with Evangelist Mike Edwards. And we're also going to have a special time of prayer at the end for our friend day, which is next Sunday. So next Sunday, October 1st, is our big announcement is we're friend day. So we're looking to do everything we can to bring people here next Sunday. We thankfully, we ran out of postcards to pass out, which is a huge blessing. So we printed up some more. So there's plenty still back there. And there's more that can be printed if you're interested. They might not look as nice, but at the same time, they can be just as effective, if not more effective, because we're passing them out. And just encourage you, those that you've invited already, connect again with them this week. If you look in the front of your bulletin, it says reconnect. So it's talking about, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we want to reconnect and reconnect with those people you've invited. And to make everything next week that it can be. So we're going to have Sunday school class at 10 o'clock. Brother Edwards will be teaching that. Our friend day service at 11 o'clock. Going to have we're going to have two choir specials instead of one. Brother Edwards will be preaching for us. The plan is to have some type of little gift for everyone, but it actually might be just a gift for the visitors. We'll see what that looks like next week as we work on it this week. We're actually going to take our children's church that usually happens from 8:45 to 9:45, and we're actually moving that and just making that part of a bigger children's service at 11 o'clock. So we are going to have special things for the children too. And then, so there will be no early morning. I know we don't have lots that come out for the early morning service at 8:45, but want to make sure that this is not the week that you show up for that. So instead, we're just going to run the van routes during the Sunday school hour instead of taking them home. And then we're going to be bringing young people for the friend day children's service in the back. And then we'll all be eating together. The plan is to have fried chicken, and the church is going to be providing fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, and rolls. We've had some people already signed up to bring mashed potatoes. There's one thing that's missing in there, right? And then we're not talking about dessert, but vegetables. So if you want to bring vegetables, you're welcome to, or whatever you like to bring. And there will be, you can bring side dishes, desserts, can and bottle drinks, whatever you can bring. If you can't bring anything, we still want you to come. And then after we get done eating, about 1:15, we're going to start some outdoor activities with the children. Doing some different like relay races and things like that with the children or whoever wants to get involved. So it could be young or old, doesn't really matter to us. About 1:30, we're going to start doing some indoor activities. And once again, that depends on how long the meal takes, how long it takes to clean up and things like that. And so those are different things. And not having church at night, we're moving our Sunday night service to Saturday night. I guess planning on having a good day, so I encourage you to come, stay, be a part of it. We don't do tons of different activities when it comes to adults per se, but this is one of those times where we can stay around and fellowship and spend some time just having a little bit of fun, or if you just want to stay around and talk with one another, I think it'd be a great time to do that. I know it makes a long day out of it, but it's one day a year or a few days a year that we do this morning service right after the morning meal after the morning service. So do your best to come and be a part of that. Okay, so today we're going to be looking at some different thoughts. Always a Sunday or a Wednesday before revival, God puts a lot of things in my heart because I've been praying and seeking that God would be working in our lives and our church's life for revival. So this morning in Sunday school and also Sunday night, we're going to be looking at the importance of the Word of God. I'm going to be looking at the Bible and looking about, even tonight, we're going to look about a little bit about responding to the Word of God and responding to preaching. And even more importantly, it's kind of a foundational message for this evening's message. We're going to look a little bit about meditation also. There's an important key. It's the Word of God. Not only do we want the Word of God is alive, but we want the Word of God to live in us. And so we're going to look at today, we're going to lay down some foundational principles, some reminders, and just say, Pastor, these are all things I heard before. Do you let the Bible change your life? because the Bible can change your life. The Bible is a living book. It impacts your life. And if you're looking for a living book, that's what this is. It's a living book. It also has a living author. I think that's amazing. You go out and you look at different books that have been written. Many of those hymns that are written in our hymn books, many of those authors have passed away. You know, we have a living author also. Now, even if you take a step farther to consider, not only do you have a living author, you have an author of the Bible that leads and guides you, that lives within you. The Holy Spirit of God. If we think about it, that He lives in you. I don't know, many times when I'm reading, especially someone like a Matthew Henry or someone that's an older commentator that maybe goes a little deeper when they in certain contexts and certain things I'm trying to understand, I often would think, I wish I could have a conversation with the guy who wrote this so that way I could learn and understand what he was trying to say. Sometimes it could be to tell him, hey, I think you're wrong. But at other times, it's more about, hey, can you help me understand this? And the amazing thing about the Bible, the amazing thing about the Word of God is the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. And you can ask Him. And that's one of His responsibility, one of His jobs. It says in John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have told, said unto you. So it's the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. So if we struggle with a certain passage of Scripture, you know who we should be talking to? Let's talk to God. Let's talk to the Holy Spirit of God. John 16, 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. So that's one of the Holy Spirit's wonderful things He does for us is He helps us. He leads us in this learning, teaching us all things, and He will guide us into all things. And so that, to me, that's an amazing thought. So not only is it a living book, as we're going to see in Hebrews 4:12, it is a living author, and the author lives within you. 2 Timothy 3:16 is a familiar passage of Scripture, but it's an important foundational truth, is all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we see that word inspiration. That literally means God breathed it out. If God is perfect, then anything that comes from Him is going to be perfect also. The Bible is a perfect revelation of our God. And how we treat the Bible is showing us how we treat Him. Our opinions and how much we invest in the Bible shows about our relationship with Him. It's not a dead book. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that's all Scripture, not just some. It's all there. So it's something that we can take and learn from it. And we think about that word inspiration, talk about being God-breathed, but look what it's profitable for. It's profitable for doctrine. Teaches us what's right. Teaches us truth. It teaches us the truths of the Bible. It reveals unto us who God is. Not only is it profitable for doctrine, it's profitable for reproof. Reproof is getting it right, saying that you're wrong. Someone reproving you, say, hey, what you're doing is wrong. So Scripture's there intended to teach us things. And that's many times where most people leave it at, hey, it taught me what I need to know. I'm thankful for that. But no, it also is for reproof. It shows us what we're doing wrong. And I'm thankful for that, because if it didn't show us what we were doing wrong, we wouldn't know that we're doing wrong. So it's for reproof, it's for correction. Not only is it about what we're doing wrong, but how to get it right. And then for instruction in righteousness. That's what the Word of God is supposed to be for us. When we open it up, and I'm praying today that from Sunday school and tonight's service, that we will have a greater motivation and interest into getting into our Bible. And not just getting into our Bible, but also for Bible preaching, that our hearts be ready and stirred to receive what God has planned for us this week in revival services. And that not only is it just something I hear, I take in. No, it's something I take and I apply it, that application, apply it to your life. And then as you apply it to your hearts and you apply it to your life, then it is something that you make a change. So that's the desire for me, and for, I believe what God's desire for us today is to look at this and once again be encouraged with the Word of God. So let's keep on. We're going to move through some different things, some different passages, familiar passages, but once again, foundational truths about the importance of the Bible. Let's go ahead and take your Bible to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. In Hebrews chapter number 4, we are told that this is a living book. It says, Hebrews 4, for the word of God is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. It gets the job done. It's quick. It's powerful. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see that it covers all three different areas, of a human. It talks about the soul and the spirit where God lives, the soul where we have our understanding, and in our flesh, talking about the joints and marrow. It's something there. It covers every area of our life. The word of God is able and capable to help us deal with every portion of our life. And I love when it says that it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's someone who knows what God, and no one knows us like God does. No one can take the word of God and apply it to our lives like the word of God does. And sometimes we don't always enjoy what he's telling us. Sometimes it's hard to understand what he's trying to say to us. But if we are open and we read the word of God, then God, we should allow the word of God to read us. What do you mean? Well, you think about it. I don't know about you. When I approach the word of God and I think about the word of God, it's not just for knowledge. It's for God to work and change in my heart and life. Let's go ahead and take it just a few pages over to James chapter number 1. In James chapter number 1, it gives the imagery that the word of God is out as a mirror. And it gives the idea that when you look into this mirror, there's something that needs to be changed. So here's the thing is, when we listen to the word of God being preached, or when we get into the word of God, what is it that we're doing with our lives? Are we allowing it to take effect? Or are we just here just to cross something off the list? That's not God's desire. That God didn't write this book about himself to reveal himself to us so we can just choose to live whatever way we want. It says here in James chapter 1, look what it says in verse number 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and that's referring to the word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And I love using this illustration because it's just something that helps. I was telling somebody this past week about the word of God and how it's a mirror, and how we look into the word of God, and the word of God reflects back to us who God is and the changes we need to make. And I use the illustration, oftentimes when you wake up in the morning time, you look into the mirror, and when you look into the mirror, oftentimes you'll look at something you need to change. I know some people that might not be true. For me, when I look into the mirror in the morning time, my hair is messed up. It's every which way, and I want to comb it because I don't want it to look the way it did in the morning. I know some of you guys that don't have much hair, and I feel like I'm getting there, might not have to do anything to your hair. Okay, it doesn't really matter, but there's things that we look at and we see, and we look in the mirror, maybe I need to brush my teeth, maybe I need to wash my face, maybe I need to comb my hair. If you're a lady, maybe I need to put some makeup on, things like that. Those are things that when we look into the Bible, when we look into the Word of God, these are things we're supposed to take personal. We're supposed to look at it in a reflection and say, okay, what is it that I need to change? Now, some people will look into the mirror and they'll look at themselves and keep on looking at themselves and say, hey, I look really good. And they become, I don't know, prideful, and they just look in the mirror to see how good they look. That's not the case here. That's not what the word of God is used for. What is that? That would be vain. That would be pride. And sometimes people look at the word of God and they look at it to see the things they do so they can use it as a billy club on someone else and say, hey, you need to do this. Look, this is me. This is why I'm doing right. No, the word of God is a mirror, and it's not just there for us to admire ourselves. Instead, it's to sit there and look and see, as it says, if it continueth therein, and he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, meaning that if you see the problems, that you will continue to work. It shows us who we really are in the light of the word of God. That is why your Christian life is connected to how you view and handle the scriptures. The attention you give to the word of God reveals to the one preacher put it this way, the attention you give to the word of God reveals how you deal with the God of the word. Think about that. The attention you give to the word of God reveals how you deal with the God of the word. The word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It changes your life if you allow it to. Say, Pastor, it hasn't changed my life. Then there's a disconnect there. There's something wrong. It's not the Bible that's the problem. It's us that must learn to get into it and understand it. And that's why my hope today is that as we give attention to this, that will help us to maybe grab a hold of certain things and allow it to work and change in our lives. Let's go ahead and take our Bible next to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, it talks about being born again. And we're not born again of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1. Look what it says in verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You say, Pastor, you said in Hebrews 4:12, it's a quick book. What, how does that mean it's alive? It says right here, it's the word of God. What does it do? It lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of God endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. It is a living book. It lasts forever. It's not only is a living book, it's a book that we must allow to live inside us. And as we look at this, and like I said, today I'm hoping that there's going to be a number of things that maybe will connect that would help to have the word of God to live inside of us and help us to be able to be meditating in the word of God and instruct us in how to not only take in the word of God, but to let the word of God change us so it can actually come out of us. Next passage of scripture, and this is our last place we will turn for the morning because we'll spend a little bit of time there, is 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. So you go back near where we were at the beginning. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, the Apostle Paul is preaching to his son in Christ, or writing to his son in Christ underneath the Holy Spirit of God's inspiration. And when he's doing this in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, he gives him an encouraging thought here for being a young man. And most of us probably would know verse number 12. And most of us probably could even quote verse number 12. I went back to a Sunday school class. Sunday school class teacher was giving a prize away to whoever knew their verse that week. And I was like, well, can I have one? And they're like, well, do you know the verse? And then all the three of the students in the class quoted the verse. I'm thinking, I don't know that one that good. So I couldn't quote it. So I didn't get a prize. But it's amazing that they were able to put God's word in their heart. And I was impressed with all three of the students specifically. And it wasn't a short verse, it was a longer verse. And I said, how in the world did you do that? And they said they learned it. They had listened to someone singing the song. And as they sang the song, it made it easier for them to remember the song. And I thought that was a wonderful way to hide God's word in your heart. But here in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, and you see here in verse number 12, the word of God says, he said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. So you sit there and you think about that, and that's nice. Timothy was younger than Paul. Timothy was younger in the ministry than Paul. He's trying to tell him, let no man despise thy youth. And I think that's a good thing to teach your young people. But I don't think it's just intended for young people in that stage of life. I think that's intended for all of us. I mean, does he not want older people to be an example? Of course he does. Does he not want middle-aged people to be an example? Of course he does. That was Timothy's lot in life. And this truth is for every season of life. This is for all believers. We need to pursue the same things that Paul is instructing Timothy to pursue. What does he instruct him to pursue? He says, example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. It's like he covers everything. In the word of God, in conversation, the way we live our life, and that agape love, we need to be an example of that. And then he talks about the inside and spirit and how we respond to things in our faith and purity. He covers the whole gauntlet of things. This is how you're supposed to be an example of. This is something we should be pursuing. And he's telling Timothy, let no man despise. I know Timothy here is known for being a pastor at this point in time. And he's saying, look, even though you're young, and we've heard messages all the time about it. Look, you're young, but still, stay focused here. Be an example here. Pursue these things. And most of us know verse 12, but if you looked at verses 13 through 16, it begins to give you a description of how to be an example. Most of us understand the destiny. Most of us understand what we want to look like in the end. Most of us would say, this is the goal. But in verses 13, 14, 15, and 16, it begins to tell us how we get there. And that's where we're going to spend a little bit of time here this morning. It says in verse number 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands, of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. So here's some things that he says. In verse number 13, he says, till I come, give attendance. Now, this is interesting. What he's talking about, Paul saying, hey, I'm going to come visit you someday. And till I come, I want you to give attendance to something. I want you to give attention to something. What does he say I want you to give attendance to? What does he say I want you to give attention to? Attendance means paying attention to. He says, I want you to pay attention to the reading. And he says, give attendance to reading. Now, today, in the day and time we live in, it seems like there's not a lot of people who read as much. That is one of the things I'm not as good at. I know sometimes people think pastors or preachers, they spend all their time reading. They're really good at reading books. People learn different ways. And reading is not one of the things that I'm best at when it comes to understanding. When I hear something, and that's many times why when I read my Bible, I read it out loud. Because when I'm reading it out loud, all the different emotions, all of me is focused on something, and so that way I can hear it. Many times if I'm reading, then my mind, and not reading out loud, my mind's going one way or another way, and I'm just accomplishing something. But he says, look, I want you to give attendance. He's saying, I want you to be alert. He says, I want you to be fully engaged. He's not saying just read your Bible and listen to the scripture or even study it. He's saying, I want you to give attendance. I want you to be focused. I want you to pay attention to what you're reading. I want you to take the Word of God and pay attention to it. It's going to be an investment of time and energy. And I know what many people are going to say, Pastor, I read my Bible. I've done that before. I'm just not getting anything out of it. The Word of God can change our lives if we will take time to focus and we take time to give it attendance and take time to look at a verse and to break down a verse. And even if it's learning just reading a few verses and getting understanding, it would be better than reading chapters and not getting clear understanding what the Word of God is saying. It's an investment of time. It's an investment of energy. It's engaging our soul with the scriptures themselves. If we give attention to the Word of God, God will deal with us in every area of life. That's what he's talking about in verse number 12. He says, be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading. He says, it's very simple. I want you to give attendance to something, and it's reading the Word of God. Think about it this way. If we give ourselves to the Word of God, the Word of God will give us everything we need to be that example when it comes to being, whether it's charity, whether it's the way we're living our lives, whether it's a spirit or faith or purity. So what does this look like? You know, how do we learn? I think sometimes people think they equate learning with a classroom. So consider with the classroom, who's the teacher of this? And the teacher would be not some man, it's God himself. When you're reading the Bible, who's trying to teach you? It's the Word of God. Even when a preacher gets up and it preaches the message, we're not looking for the message from the preacher. We should be looking for the message from God. You think about it. Who did Timothy have as a teacher? Timothy had Paul. I mean, what better teacher? Timothy also had a godly mother. Timothy also had a godly grandmother. But that's not who he's saying give attention to. He says give attention to the reading. Beyond all those things, we must get the most attention to the Lord. We must give the most attention to his teaching. Sometimes people give more attention to commentators. Sometimes people give more attention to preachers. Sometimes people give more attention to individuals that they say, well, this is what I think. This is what I heard. And this is what I learned. And it doesn't agree with the Bible. It doesn't agree with the things of God. And they give more attention to that over what the Bible says. Sometimes people do it in their own life when they have developed their own type of stronghold in their mind and says, this is right. And I'm like, is it biblical? Because we give more attention to what some people would say. I know that Calvinists have a lot of struggles when it comes to certain things, and they would listen to John Calvin more than they listen to what the Bible says at times. And it's a challenging. Same thing with some of the other things out there that teach false doctrine in some areas, and you come to it, and he's like, what does the Bible say? What does Scripture say? And we should not give more attention to man than we give to what we should give to God. We may listen better when we realize and understand the teacher is the Lord. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal the written word to you. Think about it. I like how one preacher put it. The living word wants to reveal himself in the written word. The living word wants to reveal himself in the written word. So when you sit there and you think about it, it's like, how can I learn? How can I grow? We ask God for help. God, will you teach me? God, will you show me? God, will you? All these different things. He has promised us the blessedness of the blessed life when we are in his scriptures and when we're delighting in them day and night. We're going to look at that a little bit tonight when we talk about meditating. So think about who the teacher is. God's the teacher. He's the one. And once again, teacher lives what's inside of us. And when you're struggling, read the Bible. Give attention to reading. Pay attention to it. Some people would tell you to take a chapter and read the chapter multiple times over and over until you have a good understanding of it. Sometimes I heard one guy said for 30 days, you take one small portion of scripture and you read it over and over, giving attention to it. You have that for the rest of your life because you put it in your heart. But it says, give attendance to reading. It's important to give attendance to reading. Do you read your Bible? And I'm not talking about just reading it to read it and just say, I did it. Do you give attention to it? This is something that you learn, something that you put inside your heart. So not only do you see who the teacher in this classroom is, consider who the students are. Consider who all the students are. And the students are those who want to be an example to the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith. It does cost us something to be a student of the Word of God. It is something that we're going to have to focus and put ourselves into it. And do you have that desire? We must have a desire. We must have a longing to want to be closer to God. We must have a longing to want to know God and to not neglect His Word and expect to become the person that God wants you to become. Who's the students? Those who truly want to learn. I don't know about you, but when you write a letter, sometimes, I know we don't write letters as much anymore. Me and my wife, Pensacola, they had something called Panhellenic that you would send letters back and forth. And I think I still have some of those letters, unless my wife found them and threw them away. But I still have some of those letters. And you know what we would do? I would take that letter and I'd read it. And many times I would read it more than once. And it's because, why? Because I was interested in what was being said. And sometimes you send a letter, you send a note, even modern day, you send a text message, and sometimes people don't respond or they don't pay attention to it or they don't open it. What do you learn about that? Yeah, I understand they could be busy, but after a few days, you would think it's just they didn't mean that much to them. And sometimes you can neglect the Word of God. And sometimes you can neglect people and their letters. I know sometimes in the past, I'm not the best letter writer in the world, to be honest with you. I'm not the best emailer or texter. But at the same time, when I write something that's kind and informative and something that I'm trying to be a blessing to someone else, and it takes time and effort and then no one to respond, you try not to get hurt feelings. But at the same time, it's not meaning the same thing to them as it meant to you when you sent it. And if who is really, truly going to be a student of the Word of God? It's not the fact that the Bible is the problem. The Bible is not the problem. It's not the fact that we can't understand it. We can understand it because the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. Now, some of us might go a little deeper than others. That's fine. But if you're not learning from the Bible, not learning from the Word of God, it's not God that is the problem. It's the fact that we need to be interested. We want to be a student of the Word. We will not just be a hearer of the word. We want to be a doer of the word. We need to allow it to come in our lives. How we view the Bible is how we view the word is how we view the God of the word too. So the way that you treat your Bible is the way that you treat your God also. So not only is it we see the teacher and we see the students, but think about the curriculum just for a minute. It's the Bible. Look what it says in verse 13. Until I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And that's what it's referring to when it talks about doctrine. We get into a zone when it comes to certain things. You think about it, how many of us when you're trying to talk to somebody and they take their phone out and they're looking at their phone instead of looking at you, they're not interested in what you have to say. And I'm guilty of it. Many times I got lots of things going on, lots of things they're doing. I'm listening to somebody, trying to do two things at once. But if we're considering what the curriculum is, we zone in on the phone. We can zone in on a TV show. I want to hear sometimes at our house, we enjoy being with one another. Some people might enjoy a program more than someone else. Someone who's really enjoying the program will sit there and watch intently because they're trying to figure something else, or maybe it's a sporting event. And someone else who might not be enjoying the program as much or care as much, they want to talk to the other person. In my family, we enjoy talking to one another. And oftentimes, when I'm watching something, I have to tell my wife or my sons, hey, can you pause that? You know, why is that? Because I'm interested in one thing, but I'm more interested in what they're saying. Plus, I don't want to miss either one. So when we consider the curriculum here, we have to learn how to set aside things. We can do that when we're talking to somebody. We can even be rude to somebody else because we're focused here. I need to do this. I want to do this. We need to learn how to zone other things out. And like I said, you might want to put certain things on pause so you can take the Word of God. I've seen so many people be interested in certain things, a project, a sporting event, a TV show, their phones, and they want to be in tune with that. They don't want to miss anything. Sometimes interested in mysteries, when you're reading a mystery to try to figure out who did it, you don't want to miss anything. You're figuring it out and you're looking at it, whether it's reading a book or whether maybe watching something that's there, and you're like, okay, this person do it. And sometimes people can pick up on things because they're so zoned in that they figure it out. That's what we need to be with the Word of God. We need to be zoned in. It can't be. If we truly want God to change our lives, if we truly want God to make a difference in our life, if we truly want to let the Word of God live in us, not just be a living word, that it would live in us and that it would come out of us, we must be focused on it. Someone asked Prime Minister William Gladstone one time, he said, how do you get so much done in your life? Because he was known for getting so much done. And he said just one word. He said, concentration. He said, I concentrate on one thing, get it done. Concentration. And sometimes in our life, we're not giving the attention. We're not giving attendance to the Word of God. We're not paying attention to the Word of God. We need to concentrate on the Lord. We need to engage the Lord each and every day. We want to meet with Him every day. Might mean I have to get up earlier. It might mean I have to go to bed late, but I want to spend time and I want to focus because I want the Word of God to change my life. It cannot just be I'm reading it to check it off a list and expect God to make you into the man He wants you to be or make you into the lady He saved you to be. It's got to be the Word of God has to have attendance in your life. So one time someone asked D.L. Moody, how do you make your life count? And he said, instead of like William Gladstone said concentration, he said two words. He said the first word is consecrate. And the second word is concentrate. I know I used that as an illustration before, but it's so good. If we would consecrate, if we would give our lives, if we would surrender to the Lord, and as we surrender our lives and we give ourselves to Him, then we concentrate on what He has given us. Because if we do not learn how to consecrate, the things that we concentrate on are not always going to be right. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1 is what we're going to be looking at this morning in the morning service. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What matters most to us today? What is it that we wake up and say, I need to concentrate on? And I watch sometimes people when they play a certain game, they have to be good at something. You have to concentrate to be able to get the right square there, to spell the right word, to be able to accomplish this. And I don't want to mess with people that are trying to do something that they have to really focus on. They have to stay focused. How often do we concentrate on the Word of God? He says, give attention today to the Word of God. What is God trying to say to us? If God had a message for us, don't you think it would be important that we would take time to listen to it? Don't you think it'd be important enough to open up the letter? Don't you think it would be important enough to read the text message? Don't you think it'd be important enough to read the email? Because I know the people that we ignore their text messages, I know we're busy sometimes, but it's because they don't matter as much. The reality is when we get those spam text messages or when they're trying to sell something, then I don't even many times open those. I have a few things I've signed up for before to be able to get, you know, if you sign up to get text messages, you get a certain percentage off on a certain deal. And usually I guess unsubscribe on that. But when I see a text message from one of those companies, I don't even open up. I just delete it. And that's what we do with the Word of God so often is that we don't concentrate, we don't focus, we don't give attendance to it. If we give our attention to reading, it's where we start at. This is the beginning, and we're going to keep on going through this. But look what it says in verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. He's saying that we need to challenge ourselves to be a reader of the Word of God and not just challenge ourselves to give attention to reading and to exhortation. Once again, This man was a pastor. He was exhorting them. But once we give attention to reading, we also need to get attention to one another, to exhort one another. And not only exhort one another, but it continues on to doctrine. We want truth. And when you give attention to the Word of God, you're giving attention to God. When you give attention to a letter, when you give attention to a text, when you give attention to an email, you're giving attention to that person. Sometimes there's only the first line you read and you delete it because you know it's junk. Other times it's someone you care about and you read it multiple times. And some other times when we take a letter and we read it, we'll speed read through it because that person really doesn't matter that much to us or the letter isn't that important. And this is what we do with the Word of God. Sometimes we feel like we speed read through something and we don't embrace it and we don't give attention to it. Don't expect the Bible to get into you when you're not getting into it. You can't expect the Bible to be living in you if you're not living in it. Now, there's a couple of things. I know we're going to talk about meditation tonight, but I also know that there's ways that we must learn to challenge ourselves. When's the last time you read the Bible all the way through? And I know I tell you, give attention, spend more time in a short passage learning it, but I think you should always be reading the Bible reading the Word of God. And once again, you're not going to pick up everything, but you should be just reading through the Bible and reading through it. I know that there's been different times in my life when I've set a goal and I want to read the Bible in a certain period of time. And that's just because I want to read big chunks of the Bible. And it's something that's enjoyable and something you're learning. You're not taking the time to break everything down, which that has its part, and that means to be diligent and study, but push yourselves. I remember Mr. Barry talking about how he's read the Bible a few times in 30 days, and he takes over 3 hours a day to do that, and I think that's wonderful. I've never done that. But at the same time, a three-month challenge, you're spending over an hour in the Bible every day just reading, and you're connecting things, and you're looking at it. You say, Pastor, that's hard. Challenge yourself. I mean, we don't have a problem of challenging ourselves when it comes to something we want or do, or when we see a goal that's accomplished. And what's the goal? The goal is found in verse number 12. Be an example. Be an example of the believers. That means that we should live a life that shows what it looks like when the Word of God has gotten into us, when the Word of God is living in us, when the Word of God is coming out of us. There's something about saturating scriptures, saturating your mind with the scriptures. Stretch yourself. And this upcoming week, and I know last Sunday night I made a challenge or an encouragement, read through 1 Corinthians 13. Every single day, all the way through the end of revival, or all the way at least to the beginning of revival, but I don't think it hurt. Man, it's such a wonderful passage of scripture. And during my time, I've been reading it, I've been trying to memorize it. I don't have the whole thing put to memory. I would say probably 60% of it, I could say word for word. And I'm hoping by the end of next Sunday, I'll have the whole thing put to memory. And it's not easy to memorize for some people, but at the same time, push yourself, challenge yourself, get yourself into the Word of God, get the Word of God into you. Don't expect the Bible to get into you unless you're getting into it. Just because you maybe sleep with the Bible on the bookshelf next to you or the nightstand next to you doesn't mean it's getting into you. Get the Word of God into you. Give attention or give attendance, as the Word of God says, to reading. There is no other way around it. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. And that's as we consider what God's going to open to our hearts this upcoming week when it comes to the revival and to preaching and teaching and Friend Day. You know, what is the emphasis we want to put that last day of services? Let's let the Word of God get into us. Let's let the Word of God make a difference in our life. Even Paul, at the end of his life, he's writing to Timothy, and he says, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books." But then he says a little phrase at the end, "but especially the parchments." He says, I want you to bring the coat because I'm cold. I need my physical needs. I want you to bring the books because he loved reading books. But when he says, especially the parchments, he's saying, I want you more than anything else is to bring the scriptures. Bring the scriptures. Paul, the aged apostle, Paul getting ready to offer his life up for Jesus Christ. Paul, knowing he's getting ready to die, tells Timothy, will you please bring me the copies of the Word of God? He says, I want to continue to read them. How much more should we concentrate after we consecrate on the Word of God? So my encouragement this week is to set this week aside. Get into the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to get into you. Now, it does do that through reading. It does that also through preaching and teaching. We'll look a little bit more about that tonight, how to be prepared for preaching, but also in meditations of the Scriptures and meditating the things that we heard. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.